God's best purpose. Christian growth can often be stunted at rebirth without good discipling. Spiritual maturity can frequently go into hibernation through a believer's fleshly ways. The one can incubate pride, while the other can foster independence from God. But both result in a believer being removed from God's best purpose in their life. But God can correct many decades of dormant growth in a stunted Christian life, and God can reverse the worldly ways of a saint's fleshly independence from him, if the believer changes his mind to look to Jesus and away from all else. If the repentant believer approaches his majesty in genuine humility of heart. If the man or woman of God sincerely recognizes his own lack and need of God. For God will give back the years that the locusts have eaten, in sweeter abundance. We read in John, "How is it that you kept the best wine until now?" Oh, God uses all our experiences, even incorrect training in early life. God uses all life's circumstances, including years of carnality, to perfect his saints. Oh yes, all things work together for good. All things. Well, there may be ramifications for seeking fast-track spiritual development, and there may be consequences for a paucity or lack in a spiritual life. But there will also be reward if that one earnestly seeks God in his lack, indifference, disinterest, or rebellion. For God has a purpose for all that are blood-bought saints in Christ Jesus. But he chooses to do it his way, and will often wait many years for our compliance. This wonderful open secret permeates the pages of Scripture like perfume. Oh, it's found in Paul's letter to the Romans, as well as other confirmatory chapters. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, those he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. Here he is talking about believers, all who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Let this precious promise of God be the bedrock of your trust in him. Let the truth of these words to his erring child sink to the very core of your being. Oh, we may not understand the storms that upset the fragile craft to which we cling. We may be confused and rest in life at some things that are hard to be understood. But as with the word of God, the promises of God are all yes and amen in Christ. Accept that God's best purpose in our life is being carried out despite life's twists. We are being changed into the likeness of Christ so that we too will be a sweet aroma unto the Lord, a free will oblation, trusting his word, a pleasing sacrifice, willingly submitted to him, a personal offering of thankfulness and praise, a burnt offering, of which Christ is our example. It's the attitude expressed in Job's words, "Though he slay me, yet shall I trust." It is the expression of a self-life that confesses the truth, a life willing to admit that God alone has the answers. Christian growth can often be stunted at rebirth with poor discipling. Spiritual maturity can frequently go into hibernation through a believer's fleshly ways. Ah, but God can correct decades of dormant growth and fleshly independence in the one that seeks him with a surrendered heart of genuine humility. And the secret is to know and accept that God uses all things in life for good, and then to thank him by offering up a free will, burnt sacrifice of praise to the honour and glory of his name. For only as we recognise and grasp that we are being changed into Christ-likeness will we be prepared to cry, "Thy will, not mine, be done," in my life.